All right, folks, welcome to the On Par Podcast. I'm really looking forward to today's guest, Eric Zedrants. He is, you know him as AKA Member for a Day. I don't know. We all know what golf does collectively for raising charities and raising money for people or for nonprofits. I don't know anyone personally who does more on an individual level, certainly as of recently, given the circumstances with COVID-19, than Eric Zedrants. And I'm really looking forward to him and talking to him about not only his endeavors in raising money for these non-for-profits, but also just how he came to start this endeavor, as well as how it symbolizes everything that is great about the game of golf. So looking forward to talking to him. But first, a word for our sponsors. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frank Rossi of Cornell University. As the stewards of New York's golf courses, superintendents are dedicated to protecting our natural resources. In heavily developed areas like Long Island, golf courses offer large expanses of open space that provide environmental benefits, such as allowing water to infiltrate into the ground naturally and providing habitat for native species such as bees and butterflies. To help manage golf courses in harmony with the environment, the state's golf industry has established a comprehensive best management practices program to educate and serve as a resource for superintendents. For more information, see our website at nysgolfbmp.cals.cornell.edu.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family featuring three different models designed for the better player to our JPX family featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
All right, and we're back, and we're talking with Member for a Day, Eric Zedrants. Eric, how are you doing today?
Anthony, I'm just living the dream every single day.
That sounds like my line. That's usually my go-to line. Yeah, you know what? I feel like you are a little bit. You've been doing a lot of really good things, and we're going to get to all that. But I think people should understand who you are. Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in this, you know, where you from, what do you do, and how you got started in the great game of golf before we even get to the charity work that you're doing.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Westchester County in Chappaqua. I was sort of a late bloomer into the game of golf. I didn't grow up going to any private courses. My family didn't belong to any private courses. I was a soccer, basketball, and lacrosse player. And we were talking about lacrosse earlier. I actually herniated a disc in my neck in high school, and that kind of derailed my plans to play in college. And so you combine that with the fact that my father was retiring around that time and was kind of looking for something to pass the time, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we kind of collectively got into the game of golf. And for me, I just remember it as being the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life.
Sure.
You know, I would play other sports and I would just pick up a basketball and I would just naturally be pretty decent at it.
Sure.
Whereas golf, it was felt like the harder I tried, the worse I'd get and the further right the ball would go into the woods.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that challenge, and mainly the mental challenge, was quite difficult for me at in the teenage years. But over time, you know, as I started to mature and get older, it sort of defined me, and it almost was like this meditative experience and just helped me sort of mature as an adult. And I think, you know, for me, and we can talk about this at length, but it's really, the game of golf has just brought me to so many interesting places and to meet so many different people. And I think, you know, when I think back of my life through golf, I just think about these just wild places in the middle of frickin' nowhere.
Yep.
That nowhere, like there's no other reason why I would go to the middle of nowhere, Colorado or Nebraska, except for the game of golf.
Yep.
And wouldn't have it any other way.
It's you bring up an interesting thing about the centrality of sport. Number one, as athletes, sports are very important to us. And the thing about when you play sports like lacrosse, I played football and lacrosse as well. And what I found difficult about golf was because you had to spend so much time in the present. When we were reared as athletes, we're in these reactive sports, that it was very difficult to sort of be in the present because we sort of played sports instinctively and reactively. And golf is the opposite of that, except for maybe a split second when you're swinging the club. So I found it to be then became the challenge. But it was definitely unlike anything I had done to this point in my life until when I first started as well.
Yeah, I think about the mental side of the game a lot. And to me, in just hearing about some of the greatest golfers in the world, a lot of them just talk about how, you know, in those 4.5 hours, like you said, there's only a couple seconds or split seconds, if you will, where you're actually making a swing. And so the rest of that time is just really dead time. And so understanding how or what to think about during that dead time, I feel like it's so crucial. And for me, it's always been about like, can I just look around and be so appreciative of walking an amazingly beautiful golf course? And that's how I always explain it to people who aren't golfers themselves. I say, listen, at the end of the day, the reason I love this game is because I get to walk around a beautiful park. It's really all it is. It's a beautiful piece of land with a couple people that I really enjoy spending time with. And we're outside in the sun. Hopefully the weather's good. I mean, yeah, and every now and then we hit a ball and try to get into a hole. But at the end of the day, like, I'm spending time in beautiful parks with people that I like. And I try to think about it just like that.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, it's not like a pickup basketball where you're engaged the whole time. The entire time, you're really socializing and hanging out more than you are actually playing for 4.5 hours.
For sure.
I mean,
for sure.
And what you do technically, unless you're playing a sort of a team match or an alternate shot, there's very little, like, you know, if you and I are playing and we're just playing our own balls, well, you know, we're going to, you know, maybe we're going to chat the whole way, you know, going to our ball. Then we're going to be on our own for a second. And then we're going to meet back in the fairway and we're going to go talk. And so you're really spending the majority of time hanging out and socializing as if you were at a bar having a beer, which you may be doing anyway.
I think, honestly, that's probably why golf is having such a resurgence right now with COVID, right? Is that we're all missing so dearly human connection. And
yeah.
Golf has kind of been that first initiative to allow us to be outside with people that we enjoy, like you said, socializing and hanging out.
Yeah, and I think that was sort of a word. It really got packaged, I thought, poorly when they said social distancing, right? Because you don't want to be socially distant. You really want to be physically distant, but you really want to be socially connected. And I think people really I thought some bad branding there at the beginning, and they really should have been more explicit about that. That we really now is a more, like you said, it's just as important now to feel connected to people when you're trying to be physically distant.
Yeah, it's funny. I never even thought about that word, to be honest.
Yeah,
you're spot on.
It's interesting. So you start the game of golf and you start playing the game of golf, and like me, you get the bug and now you're playing golf. But this is not what you do for a living, at least this. But when you first started playing, what did you do? What do you do? You know, give us a little background.
Yeah, absolutely. So for at least leading up to COVID, I spent about 10 years running business development and partnerships for venture capital-backed tech companies in New York City and working on really large-scale distribution deals to get tech products in the hands of as many users as possible. And it's sort of interesting how, you know, life happens and changes, because a lot of those skill sets are what I'm using today in growing the Member for a Day platform.
Yeah, right, right. The idea of bringing people together and pushing a certain thing seems like you've been reared for this. It seems like.
Yeah, I have. I was speaking to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and I just said how if you had asked me a year ago or 2 years ago what my sort of favorite things to spend time on, it was this idea of technology and platform businesses. Also charity and golf. And I'm one of the lucky people who have been able to sort of blend my passions all together into one. And again, even luckier because it's ultimately the mission is to raise a ton of money and give back to nonprofits. So like you asked me before how I was doing, I actually am living my dream. So I don't even say that sarcastically.
Right. Have you fully transitioned from that business to Member for a Day before we get to that, or are you still sort of, phasing that out?
No, so the whole genesis of why this happened is because I was unemployed, and sort of during COVID was looking for my next job and basically just said, this is ridiculous. Like, this is a Sisyphean task. I'm never going to find a job in the middle of a pandemic. And that sort of led me down the path of what has now become Member for a Day.
So basically you didn't realize that you were sitting, on all the ingredients to cook your next meal. And you just started realizing that you could do this on your own and like you said, live your own dream.
Yeah, I think a lot of times in life, we try to force puzzle pieces and they don't fit. And for me, this whole journey for the past few months has been very organic and very natural. I mean, the people who are now on my advisory committee and who are helping grow this platform, I met almost all of them through the actual COVID auction. They found my auction. They either read about it in the press or saw it on social media, and we connected, and now they're my advisors. And so everything has just happened so naturally. And again, we should all be so lucky because I've been on the other side. I've had startups, I've had companies where you feel like you are just trying to fit a puzzle piece and it's in the wrong hole.
Yeah. I find that interesting, and I think you're right. And I think that goes for all our aspects of life, right? When things develop organically and naturally, they're always the best things. They're normally the best parts of your life. You really can't, force things, even though you want to, whatever it may be. And whether you're branding as an athlete, or if you're, or you're looking for your next relationship, you just can't force it. Things have to develop naturally, and they end up having the most net returns when they are.
They do, and also it should go without saying, but they're usually you have the most fun doing them, right? Like in my situation, again, this all came about very naturally. I was looking for something to do and a way to give back. I made the conscious choice to do a certain thing because I thought it would be fun and it would bring me joy and I'd be able to give back to people who were working really hard to keep us safe. And so for that to then turn into a much larger initiative and platform to help other nonprofits raise money it came very natural, and it's obviously a dream come true.
What were the pieces? So you, like I said, you're sitting on all these ingredients, your natural background, your passions for the game, and you're bringing them all together. Was there what was the order of the procedural order and how you wanted to get this off the ground?
Yeah, I mean, it should go without saying, right, is that for the past 3 years, I've slowly developed a pretty nice following on Instagram around the game of golf. And I can't stress this enough. I was just doing this for fun. just to honestly, the whole even genesis of the name Member for a Day was that I was fortunate enough to play some really good golf courses, and I wanted people to feel like they were a member for a day through my photos and videos. So, you know, I'm understanding that a lot of these golf courses, a lot of people out there aren't going to have the chance to play, and I was just hoping they would almost be able to live vicariously through my content.
Right.
And so over time, I had developed this following, which obviously kind of was a really good starting point. So I knew I had access to a large array of golfers. But even before that, I mean, I just remember I was living in New York City. I had left on March 16th. I drove down to Hilton Head, South Carolina, where my mother has a house down here. And I'm quarantined down here, and I'm just trying to figure out, like, really how to pass the time and, like, what am I – because I knew I wasn't going to get a job. And I just started to think about ways that I could give back. And, again, I knew I had access to a decent amount of golfers through my Instagram. And just through my travels, I've met a lot of members and a lot of head professionals of really, really nice golf courses. And so I remember like it was yesterday, I just had this bike ride, and sometimes you kind of need to exercise a little bit, get out of your house, get some fresh air. And it all kind of just came clear to me that it was like, yeah, like, why don't I just hit up one of the head pros I know and see what he says. And I literally just sent a message on Instagram to one of the head pros who follows me. And I just said, hey, I'm looking to raise some money for COVID. Would you be willing to donate a round of golf that I could auction off purely promoting on social media with the proceeds? Again, at that point, I didn't even have a nonprofit I was going to work with. I just knew I was going to raise money for COVID. And, you know, I'd like to think that even if he had said no, I would have continued and marched on. But, I mean, he said yes. And to have the first person at a pretty prestigious golf course say yes, I was like, okay, this
might have
legs.
Let's
go. Yeah, let's go. Like, if one person says yes, what are the odds that it was just like the only one person that's going to say yes in the world? Like, probably
right.
Other people will say yes too.
Sure. And so then, you know, now that the ball gets rolling, and which is interesting because obviously you're asking for money and it's going towards a good cause, but because of your relationship through Instagram and through these people, I mean, they trusted you that you were going to do the right thing. I mean, it's sort of an interesting thing, you know, given the nature of the times we're in, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I mean, if it was donated directly by the club, you know, it's the analogy I use, it's almost like an empty seat on an airplane. It's basically like, it doesn't really cost them anything. But you're right. If it came from a member, which the majority of the courses did, there is a cost. I mean, they have to cover the guest fees. But the way that I think about it, and yes, I thought about this a lot, is like, wow, it's so incredible that people are trusting me. And I think part of that is, you know, we were and are still are in the midst of a pandemic. And I think everybody's guard was just down a little bit and they really just wanted to help.
Right.
And it just made people a little bit more trustworthy, which, you know, thankfully they connected with someone who is very trustworthy, so they didn't have to worry about that.
Sure.
But I think the other thing, and this is something that I've thought about a lot lately, is that, you know, the ability to donate something that maybe cost you $300 in guest fees, but has the potential to raise thousands of dollars is a great ROI, right? It's a whole lot better than having to lay out $3,000,
right?
When you can just, you know, maybe 10x the ROI on your basically investment or a donation to a nonprofit. And I think, you know, that's ultimately, I think, why a lot of people were so moved, that they knew the value of the courses that they're members at, and they knew how much good it could bring to people affected by COVID-19.
So not only were you surprised by the fact that people said yes, but then you were surprised by how much you initially raised, which was what in total?
Well, so even before I get this, so here's the craziest part, right? So I'm reaching out for about 2.5 weeks, and listen, a lot of people said no, but it wasn't like an absolutely no, like leave us alone. It was like, we just can't because our bylaws don't allow it. Or, you know, there was always like a very fair excuse, but a lot of people did say yes. And so after about 2.5 weeks, I got 20 golf courses to say yes. And I could have just kept going, right? I mean, I could have just spent weeks and weeks and weeks and gotten more, but the need was now. And I knew, like, okay, at some point I have to say that's enough. I'm launching because I have to raise this money now to help people who really needed the help now.
Right.
And at this point, I had already chosen an organization. It was Project Frontline, which, just for the record, they buy meals from local restaurants and support the local restaurant and then deliver meals to area hospitals to feed hospital frontline workers.
Awesome.
And so we launched the auction. I think it was a Thursday, May 14th. And yeah, I mean, to your point is like, I don't know, maybe my goal was to raise, well, there's a couple other things. The night before, I got confirmation that Shinnecock was in. So that all of a sudden changed the game a little bit, right? I mean,
sure.
You're talking about the number 4 ranked golf course in the country.
Yep.
And so that obviously kind of raised the stakes. But I mean, going into this, you know, I was thinking, I don't know, 10 or 15 grand would be wonderful.
Yep.
And so I launched it on social with 20 golf courses committed. And that's when all of a sudden I just started getting messages from people all over the country, frankly, all over the world. I had people from the UK. I had a guy from Australia reach out to me.
Wow.
And some people were just reaching out just to say, thank you for doing this. You know, you're inspiring me. This is amazing. But other people were saying, hey, I'm a member of XYZ golf course. That's the 70th ranked golf course in the country. And I'd like to donate a round to support the cause.
Awesome.
And to your point of this idea of, I mean, trustworthy, he's like, oh my God, like the people that I reached out to, they know me. I've met, we've exchanged messages. Like, we know each other. These people, complete strangers.
Wow.
And so by the time it was all said and done, what we started at 20 golf courses, we ended up with 58.
Oh my God.
So about 60% of the rounds that were donated were by complete strangers, by people that just either follow me on social or found out about it on social media or their friends told them about it. And that just, you know, first of all, was just an incredible feeling.
Right.
To sort of create something that kind of that grew like that very naturally. But then secondly, obviously raised significantly more money than I expected because it had grown so much. And so, yeah, when all was said and done, we ended up raising, I think it was $101,400, something around there. Just a staggering number, considering that at the end of the day, like I said, I was hoping to raise like 10 or 15 grand.
That's amazing. And I think it just speaks to the nature of golf, right? I mean, where else can you do something like this where people come together so quickly? You know, the game is, you know, the foundation of it is being social and integrity and all that stuff. But I don't know if anybody rallies faster than golfers in the golf community.
Yeah, it's another thing that I've certainly spent a lot of time thinking about. And I, you know, because on the other hand, a lot of people, when they think about golf, especially the private side of golf, they think of it as being very insular and being very sort of secretive and protective. And so this sort of initiative and platform, to me, shines a spotlight on the private clubs and the country clubs in the sense of showing the good side and how much money can be raised for amazing causes instead of this idea of it being, you know, just for rich people and on and on and on. So I totally agree. It was just an amazing feeling to watch a virtual community come together and rally around a cause during a time where people need it. And I should say that $100,000 equated to over 10,000 meals to feed New York City frontline hospital workers.
Amazing. How gratifying is it to be a part of something like this?
Yeah. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was the most gratifying work I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
And the, you know, I didn't make any money off this. I actually, the funny part is I actually lost money. I probably spent 300 hours and I actually covered half the cost of the guest fees for one of the items, because my buddy is just, he was like kind of on the fence, and I was like, I'll cover half the cost. And he said, okay. So I actually lost $180 on this.
Right.
Which should speak volumes. But yeah, it was just, just the quintessential definition of a heartwarming experience. I mean, it just filled my heart with warmth.
So where do you go from here now at this point? Now you've established yourself, you've got a nonprofit that you're working with. You have a website. The website is memberforaday.com, is what you said?
It is.
And yeah. Project Frontline is your primary nonprofit at this point. I don't know if you want to play close to the vest, or how do you plan, how do you see this evolving?
Yeah, so, you know, again, I can't stress this enough. It all has happened very organically. And so the auction ended, and I was fortunate enough that a few people who follow me on Instagram are writers, are golf writers, and they picked up the story. And so my story was featured in Links Magazine, Golf Week Magazine, Golf Magazine. The New York Post wrote a full-page article on us. Actually, yesterday, the USGA just did a feature. So very, very fortunate to have gotten some really, really good press. And because of that, I've been approached by a multitude of nonprofits.
Awesome.
Saying, well, hey, you did that for Project Frontline for COVID. How about doing it for cancer? How about doing it for leukemia? How about doing it for heart failure, which I'm actually, as we talk right now, I have another auction. It's for a group called the Heart Brothers. They're a wonderful Massachusetts-based nonprofit that works with heart failure and heart transplant patients. And again, it all came out very naturally. The executive director's son follows me on Instagram, reached out, made the connection. And you know, we're closing in on about $20,000 raised in the first 72 hours. And the auction's going to be live for about another 7 days at this point. And so, yeah, it's one of these things that, you know, I kind of had to figure out how to transition from, you know, can I do this on a more global scale? Can I do this with other nonprofits? Like, how do I do it? So what started out as just kind of this fun initiative and a way to give back has really turned into this, like I said, this full-time initiative platform where I'm able to help nonprofits fundraise through once-in-a-lifetime golf experiences.
Sounds amazing. And for those of you who are listening, the website for that, Heart Brothers, is donate.memberforaday.co/the Heart Brothers. So if you're interested in being part of that and bidding, there's a number of states that you can go: California, Connecticut, Florida, Colorado, Massachusetts, a bunch. You can just go on that website and you'll see if you want to bid on anything to help them out. So you really now at this point, I'm not going to say you're, you know, in a funny way, I guess you could say you're in a little bit of the catbird seat, you know, where you were wondering at this point to struggle where, you know, if you could even get this going. Now you're sort of, the next hurdle is really defining who you are and what you're going to do at this point and who you're going to represent. I would say I wouldn't think that would be a decision that's to be taken lightly either.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And, you know, I'm looking, like, to me, the ability to help nonprofits fundraise is so crucial to everything I'm building. But I'm looking to build something much larger and with more lasting power. I mean, I want Member for a Day to be a brand that people think of when they think of golf and charity. And so there's a lot more to the brand. I mean, the perfect example is content. So every time I work with another amazing nonprofit, we'll hopefully be raising a ton of money through the game of golf. And then we'll be able to showcase all the amazing charitable work that said nonprofit is doing. So I really see a lot of human emotion content coming out of this brand. I think we're going to have events, whether they're like whatever style they are. Of course, we're going to have charity golf events to help raise a ton of money. I think there might be some merchandise coming down the road, again, with the proceeds going to charity. So I'm looking to build a brand that hopefully has staying power. And again, it just makes it synonymous with golf and charity.
Sounds like you have your hands full. That's for sure.
I got to tell you, like I said before, I've been blessed with getting some good press coverage, and because of that, I've had some really interesting nonprofits reach out with some really interesting ideas, and so we have some really cool stuff down the pipeline. Some amazing golf courses, some really unique experiences. To your point, with just wonderful, wonderful nonprofit organizations. And, you know, you're so spot on, is that it's so crucial for me being in this position to make sure that the nonprofits that I sort of welcome into this community, because that's essentially what I'm doing, that I stand behind them and say, these are great people who do great work. And yes, you can play great golf courses.
Sure.
But, you know, to make sure that they are wonderful organizations is so crucial to everything that I stand for.
Do you think, since you've done this sort of platform sort of launches with Project Frontline, which is for the basically small businesses, the restaurants, whatnot, to support them? And do you think, and obviously the people that they're feeding, but you're really supporting, you know, those small businesses that were really getting crushed during this time, especially when you think about locally in the city. I was just curious, if will that always be near and dear to your heart, the small business community?
You know, it's a really good question, Anthony. I think for me, I really want to be charity agnostic. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as it's not political or religious or something that might offend people one way or the other, I really want to be open to any great organization, because who am I to decide that your organization isn't good enough because, you know, I'm focused on XYZ. And so the platform that I'm creating, ultimately, I really want to help any nonprofit who's doing amazing work, who's looking to increase their fundraising and go from there. And listen, you know, who knows what the future holds, whether a year or two, you know, maybe I have to refine it. But for now, I really want to be sort of in that space with open arms and just speak to really good nonprofits who are doing amazing work.
Being a little bit of a history person, one of the things that I loved about George Washington as a president was, even though he didn't want to be president, was that he was he knew that he wasn't an expert in any particular field, and he went out and picked the best people around to help him in this new idea of the United States, and particularly when it came to government. What do you do? How are you running this? Do you have people that you're tapping to sort of help you as you evolve and find your identity and how you proceed to move forward?
Yeah, like, you know, I've sort of mentioned this earlier in the conversation, that through the auction, I was able to meet some really, really incredible people who are a heck of a lot smarter than I am, and are in the golf industry and know what's going on or tapped in. And we formed a pretty nice advisory committee of about five people now, which has been tremendous. So I have a call with them every 2 weeks that they can give me advice, and it's just from an overall just strategy perspective, has been fantastic. I think the other beautiful thing is that when you do something with a charitable component attached to it, you know, whether it's the TOMS model or anything like that, what I've noticed is people just want to help. I think there's a big difference between a pure capitalist business and a business that has a charitable component to it. I mean, my North Star is my goal this year is to raise $1 million in 2020. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a long way to go. I think we're up to about 130,000. Hopefully we'll raise another 50,000 this week. My goal is to raise $1 million by the end of this year. But with that said, it's attracted really, really smart people who just want to be involved. I mean, I have a friend who's a genius programmer, loves the game of golf. And we spoke about a month ago, and he just said, I want to be a part of this. I want to help. And so now I have a wonderful, basically, CTO who's helping me sort of build out the platform and, you know, build out the sort of ad capabilities for social media so we can help promote these nonprofits. And so to answer your question, yes, I've been so fortunate to have smart people around me. And I think, you know, it should go without saying, but because of COVID and because of the situation we're in, there are a lot of people that are currently unemployed. And, you know, while I can't offer them a paid job, I can offer them a really interesting experience through the game of golf that's going to give back and hopefully raise a ton of money for amazing nonprofits, which is very meaningful for a lot of people out there.
Well, I can't thank you enough for your time, and I can't thank you enough for what you're doing at a time where people are really feeling some genuine pain and suffering. And so the fact that you this all started from a good place, I always say good things happen to good people. And so I really wish you all the best. And like although I'm not a genius programmer, if there's anything I could do to help you, I'm more than willing to do so. So, but I appreciate you coming on the program today.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much. And I just wanted to say, for anyone who wants to sort of stay in the know of what we're doing, either follow us on Instagram at Member for a Day or join our email list, which is on my website, memberforaday.com. So basically anytime we have a new charity auction, which is going to come out at a pretty frequent cadence, you'll be the first to know there. And again, we're just going to be supporting amazing nonprofits and raising tons of money through the game of golf.
Yep, I'm on the website now, so it's Member for a Day, and it's all spelled out. There's no numbers. You might think of maybe a 4 would be in there because you have that on your Instagram, but nope. It's Member for a Day, all spelled out, .com, where you can see everything that he's doing and find out more about this charitable endeavor with Eric. Like I said, I wish you all the best, and if there's any way we can help, please let us know.
Thanks so much, Anthony. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. That is Eric Sedrance. Really looking forward to seeing how this progresses and how it evolves. What a wonderful endeavor at a time where people really need help. And it's just another amazing story in the game of golf that does so much charity. And we all know the numbers that the PGA Tour raises and whatnot. But this one is on a more local level, it feels like, and so it's a little more personable coming from an individual who's working really hard to help people that could really use the help. So we wish him all the best. That was Member for a Day, Eric Sedrance. So thank you for joining us, folks, and as always, thank you for your support. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.